My name is Ben Bailey, the minister for the Central Church of Christ. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
In the long ago, the suffering servant Job asked the great question, if a man dies, shall he live again? Job chapter 14 and verse 14. It isn't till centuries later, when the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes upon the scene, that we get the answer to that question. Jesus said in John 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, Jesus said, though he may die, Jesus said he would live again. I believe some of the most encouraging words in all of Scripture are found in Luke 24, verses 5 and 6. The disciples go to the tomb, and the two men there tell them, why do you seek the living or the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Isn't it a wonderful fact to know today that we serve a risen Savior, that the tomb did not contain Jesus, that we have the hope of the resurrection? I want to ask you to open your Bible, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with me. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as we think today about the power of the resurrection. As you're turning there, Brother Jimmy's admonition for the Scripture reading reminds me of a story that I once heard. There was a young man standing at the back, noticing a plaque on the wall. The preacher comes up to him, and he's looking at this plaque, and so he sees the kid standing there, and he sees that it's piqued his interest. And so he begins to tell him about this plaque. He says, this plaque is representative of all our servicemen, all our heroes who've died in service. And the young man and he, the preacher, are standing there, and the little kid looks up at him and says, which one, morning or evening? Well, you can imagine, he didn't quite understand the kid's desire to know more about God and about those things. He was more concerned about the time. Today, as we think about the resurrection, there is great power in what Jesus did at the cross and His empty tomb. I want you to read with me 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to notice Paul's words beginning in verse 14. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 14. Actually, back up with me, if you will, to verse 12. The Bible says, now if Christ is preached that He's been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. Your faith is also empty. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Then he says in verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. As we think about Paul's words here, he takes the negative approach. If there is no resurrection, then these things do not occur and we're without hope. But friends, we know the resurrection is true. We know that Jesus did come forth from the grave, and thus we can take each one of these negatives and turn them into a positive for us today as we view the resurrection. What are the positive benefits of the resurrection for the Christian today? You'll notice in verse 14, preaching Christ does have great value. If there is no resurrection, Paul says, why preach Christ? Friend, how true that is. If no resurrection, then everything we're doing is in vain. No need to preach Jesus. No need to get dressed up. No need to come to worship. No need to live the Christian life. But since Christ is resurrected, preaching Christ does have great value. For example, preaching Christ is of great value because Jesus is the only way of salvation. You remember what Jesus emphatically said in John 14, 6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Friend, it is still good news this morning to know Jesus is the way to the Father. Peter proclaimed in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is still the way of salvation for men and women today. Jesus is still the pattern of life. When we preach Christ, we preach a pattern of life that rises above all else. Jesus set that perfect pattern. Hebrews 4:15 says He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He committed no guile, nor was deceit found in His mouth. He lived that perfect life. And Peter said, we're to walk in His footsteps. We're to follow His pattern. We're to imitate Paul as he imitated Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. And friends, when we preach Christ, we preach that Jesus is the Son of God, and the resurrection affirms that. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And listen, and the Word was God. Well, what is that Word? Verse 14 tells us, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. Preaching Christ in view of the resurrection, Jesus is the Son of God. Thomas, as he saw the resurrected Savior, as he saw the nail prints in His hand, as he saw the sword print in His side, proclaimed, my Lord and my God. The resurrection affirms that the message of Jesus is the most powerful and the most important message ever heard. You remember the words of 1 Corinthians 1:21? Paul said that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those who were lost. But then I want you to notice from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that not only is preaching Christ of great value, that's a benefit we have from the resurrection, but our faith in Jesus is verified in the resurrection. Look at chapter 15, beginning in verse 14 again. Paul says, if Christ is not risen, our preaching is vain. And notice, your faith is also empty. That means that if Christ is still in the grave, we've got nothing to put our faith in. But friend, the fact that Christ is not in the grave means that our faith is not empty. Our faith is not futile. We have hope in Jesus as the Son of God. You know, I can have faith in Christ. Did Jesus really walk on this earth? Did He really have 12 disciples who He took along and brought them up, who spread the Word? Did He really confirm the miracles that He had in His life? Did He really die on a cross? How can I know? Romans 1 verse 4 says, the resurrection affirms Jesus is the Son of God. When they heard that great cry, He is not here, He is risen. Friend, I can put my faith in what Jesus did at Calvary and in what He gave us. I can put my faith in the Bible. As I read the words of this book, as I study its precepts, as I follow its commands, this is not an empty venture. The Bible gives us great hope. For the Scripture says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I can have faith in this book that it is the way to heaven. The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4 verse 12. This is God's power unto salvation still today. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. And I can have faith. I can have great faith in that place that we call heaven. Friend, when I think about the resurrection, and I think this morning that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, Hebrews 1 verse 4, that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself. I can have faith in that place we call heaven, and that if I live my life correctly, I can spend eternity in heaven with God. A place of rest. Hebrews 4 verse 9. A place of wonder where God Himself is. Matthew 6 verse 9. And a place of eternal bliss. And so the resurrection not only teaches us that preaching Christ is the most powerful message, that our faith actually has evidence and substance, but as we think about the resurrection, we can learn that there is remedy to the sin problem. I want you to look back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And what other benefits can we gain from the resurrection? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want you to notice the words of verse 17. The Bible says, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and notice, you are still in your sins. Why is the resurrection so important? Friend, let's bring it down to this today. If Christ is still in the tomb. I've got no hope for salvation. I'm lost in sin. I'm headed down the path to hell. And there is absolutely nothing that can stop that. That's how important the resurrection is. But friend, we know Jesus is the answer to the sin problem. You shall call His name Jesus, the angel told Mary. He will save His people from their sins. Matthew 1, verses 19 through 21. As John the Immerser sees Jesus approaching, he cries out, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Oh, how we need that remedy to the sin problem. Listen carefully. Each one of us can take the teaching and the practical benefits of the resurrection home with us today because we all have had to struggle with the sin problem. The Bible says in Romans 3, verse 10, there's none righteous. The best of us have to deal with it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3, 23. The wages, the salary of sin is death. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, and the prophet Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 18:4, the soul who sins shall surely die. And so I need to know the Savior's not in the tomb because He's the answer to the sin problem. Romans 6:23, the rest of the verse says, although the wages of sin is death, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to the hope Christians were given in the first century. They were told that Jesus is Lord and Christ, and then they were told to repent and be baptized, and every one of them could be forgiven of their sins. The Apostle Paul was told in Acts 22:16, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And oh, how I love the words of Hebrews 8, verse 12. God said, I'll be merciful to their sins and their lawless deeds I'll remember no more. A positive benefit of the resurrection is that each one of us has the opportunity and the privilege to be forgiven of the sins that we've committed. Now turn back, if you would, with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want you to notice also, from verse 18 following, we learn that a positive benefit of the resurrection of Christ is that death has been conquered. Look at beginning in verse 18, what the Apostle Paul says. Again, approaching it negatively, Paul says, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If there's no resurrection, death is the end. Look in verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. Move a little further in the chapter, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 15, and notice beginning in verse 50. Paul rejoices when he says, now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection means for me and for you that we don't have to remain in the grave. Hear me clearly this morning. All of us one day are going to pass from this life. We are not made to live forever. Hebrews 9:27 puts it this way. It is appointed to man once to die, and then the judgment. We live like and we act like sometimes that life is going to go on forever, but we're temporary. We're only going to be here a little while. James said it this way. What is your life? It is but a vapor that appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. The psalmist promised 70, maybe 80 years at best upon this earth. Psalm 90, verses 10 through 12. And David said it so clearly in 2 Samuel 14, verse 14. Our life is like a glass of water being poured out on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. I'm going to die. You're going to die. And in some sense, that gives us sadness, but here's the good news. The resurrection of Christ gives each one of us hope that we shall arise from the grave. Remember the words of John 5, verse 28 and 29? Here's the good news. All who are in the grave will come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of death. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 13, Paul says, we're not to sorrow as others who have no hope, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. And then he says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed, and those who are alive will be caught up together with the Lord. Friend, we do not remain in the grave forever. The resurrection affirms that death is not the end. I want you to think about two passages, I believe, that give us great comfort as it relates to death. Psalm 116, verse 15 says this, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Why is death of a saint precious? Because that person doesn't remain in the grave. He goes to be with God. And then the beautiful words of Revelation 14, verse 13. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. We have that hope, that blessing in death, because death is only the gateway to eternal life with God. Now notice a couple of other principles from 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to look at verse 57. And the Scriptures also teach us that because of the resurrection, we have the victory. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death can no longer have that hold on us. We have that victory. Victory over what? As we've already said, victory over sin. Victory over self. And ultimately, victory over Satan. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, the Bible says that Christ always leads us in triumph or victory. If I am on the Lord's side, then I am on the winning side in this life. Revelation 3, verse 21, Jesus said, to him that overcomes, you can come over and sit with me. And thus I have that great victory in this life. But then for just a few moments, I want us to think about our resurrection. I'm not talking about future sins. I know that there will be a day when Christians are raised out of the grave. But I want you to think about the resurrection that if I'm a child of God, I've already gone through. Would you open your Bible with me to Romans chapter 6? In some ways, each of us has already been part in a resurrection. Romans chapter 6, I want you to notice, beginning in verse 1. The practical teaching of Christ's resurrection is that each of us must live a changed life. Romans chapter 6. Notice beginning in verse 1. The Scripture says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? We also, just like Christ died, we've died to sin. There's the death. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death. Notice, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Jesus died for sin. I die to sin. I no longer give my life to it. I am buried with Christ at the point of baptism. And notice, just as Christ was raised from the dead, we're raised to walk in newness of life. Friend, are we living our life every day in view of the resurrection? Are we living that newness of life? Have we put sin behind us? I'm no longer going to give in to sin and its tactics. Are we doing everything possible to resist Satan? Oh, he's like that roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. 1 Peter 5:8. But the Bible says, resist him steadfast in the faith. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. Are we living a new life? Are we trying to live as an example for Jesus Christ? In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Are we living the redeemed life each and every day? And so what does the resurrection teach us? Preaching Christ is not a worthless event. It has the most power in all the world. My faith in Jesus, my faith in the Bible and in heaven is something that's confirmed by the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Death has been defeated. We'll be victorious in this life. But we must live as resurrected individuals. We must live that newness of life each and every day. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, we're indeed thankful that Jesus was raised from the grave. We're thankful, Father, for the great life that He lived, for His death. And Father, we're thankful that we have that hope of one day living with You in heaven. Father, we pray that You will help each of us today to live a life that will glorify You. Help us to walk in newness of life and to really seek after Your Son and His teaching each and every day. Father, we love You. We love the Savior for what He's done for us. And we pray that You'll help us each day to glorify Him and to glorify You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.